The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Rita Bitty is always with me, entertainment journalist John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time here in News Talk, and David O'Callaghan from the Here and Back Again podcast with recommendations of what to watch. The Thursday Murder Club. That's where we're going to start. So this is not a recommendation, surely, is it?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Half a thumb up, yeah, definitely.
Half a thumb?
Okay, a full thumb.
Oh. Have you read the book?
Read the book and watched the movie.
I'm the only one who hasn't read the book in this room, yeah?
No, I've read the book, watched the movie,
interviewed the author.
And did you interview the cast, John?
Interviewed Ben Kingsley. Yeah.
All right.
Hands up.
Sold I've met Gandhi, whatever.
Yeah. He only made one good movie, Gandhi, then you never saw him again.
So you've seen the movie as well?
I've seen this movie, yeah.
Okay, give us your review.
I thought this movie suffered from the weight of expectation. If Steven Spielberg hadn't become attached before the book even came out, and Chris Columbus, and actually the books came out, they were a success, and it said, you know what, the BBC or ITV are going to make this, it's going to be three-parters on three Sundays. What they made would have been perfectly fine. I think I was just expecting, because it was, there were such big names attached to it, it was just fine. It was fine.
Really?
And sorry, not to denigrate one of our own, Brosnan's the weak link. He's pants in it. Yeah. Pierce Brosnan is James Bloody Bond. He is not a 1970s trade unionist. He's James Bond.
Who supports West Ham, by the way.
Yeah, to get that into
Don't tune into my views on this.
It was beige in a good way. Like, it's like Keen is a good beige album. You know, it's Goujons are beige. So I think it's...
If you like Goujons and Keen music, this is the movie for you.
It's the best exotic marigold hotel meets Knives Out. With Miss Marble walking around. And I love the fact they live in Downton Abbey. Like, that's huge.
Oh, sorry. I actually said to my wife, I said, I'm sorry, when I get old and doddery, that is the nursing home you're putting me in.
Yeah. But I thought it was absolutely fine. But that's why it's streaming. Shouldn't be in the cinema. Mm. And it's going to get a second one made because it's doing so well for them. But, you know.
Serena loved it, obviously. She really looks appalled.
Did cry.
Of course you did.
I cried at the very end. Now look,
Serena cried when the dum-dum played on Netflix.
But look, I think I'm one of the very few who hasn't read it. So I went in knowing nothing about this. And then I just loved the way the characters were written. Like, that old people weren't old and doddery and had nothing to contribute to society, which is what you sometimes see in these Hollywood films. These old people weren't eccentric. They were just themselves. People who had contributed to society, had a past, and still have a future to give. And maybe I got deeper than you were supposed to get watching this, but I really loved it.
You should watch Cocoon. You'll probably lose your mind.
Oh, I do. I cry Cocoon. But I really love this. I thought it was an easy two-hour watch. I loved the cast, the supporting cast, the fact that there was Richard E. Grant. You've got...
I thought there was nearly too many good actors.
Probably.
It nearly took me out of it that there was all these stars everywhere.
What did Ben Kingsley say to you, John?
Lots of things. He also used the F word, which was funny.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, it was funny. Oh, I told him it was my new ringtone because I was talking to him about The Sopranos. But can I just say about the Thursday Murder Club, like, I read the book and it was this publishing phenomena. And I thought the book was fine as well. Like, entertaining, it's a good idea, and it's very English and pleasant. Mm. And I thought the film was exactly the same way, a very faithful retelling of it, almost page to page, I thought. So I kind of go along with the fine thing, but not offense. You know, sometimes you go, something's fine, and it's actually proxy for crap. But it was pleasant viewing for the 2 hours, I thought, you know. And Kingsley, Helen Mirren, I thought they were all on top form. But I agree with you about Pierce Brosnan. I really do. And I'm still not over. What's the thing?
Bland. Talora, Laura, you're all
let's teach him how to do an Irish accent. Like, that's still in my head.
And Helen Mirren, the two of them.
Yeah, hers was particularly bad, but so his was less justifiable. You
know? Yeah. All right, okay. So what are we... Are we recommending it, are we?
All right, okay.
Just loads of wine.
All right.
And Goujons.
Play a bit of Keen, get yourself in the mood. Ramp up the excitement. Love, put on the Keen album. We're going to watch the Thursday Murder Club. Right. Do you know what? When I watched it?
When?
Sunday night, Forgot Traitors was on. And we watched this instead.
Can we talk about that for
a second? So let's talk a little bit about Traitors, but not too much, right? And would I tell you something else?
Yeah, go on.
So earlier today, in a production meeting, Traitors came up again. And I was texting my wife then about something. I said, by the way, we really have to start watching Traitors tonight to catch up before Sunday. Mm. You know, because I'm avoiding all the spoilers. She texts me back, I've already watched it.
Oh, what a treat.
I like her. She waits for nobody.
She's watched all three episodes behind my back.
You gotta.
I should have started. My current wife. My current wife.
Mrs. Cuddy.
The current Mrs. Cuddy. That's gone ahead and watched Traitors.
This is not good.
Oh my God.
No, this stuff is sacrosanct in marriages.
Oh, I can't believe it.
And someone breaks out of that.
She deserves to be called out on national radio. So then, without giving too much away, this isn't gangbusters in terms of the amount of people watching it. It's great, is it?
I think I'm the only person in Ireland who would never watched an episode of Traitors. And so then when I heard that this was coming out, the Irish version, I was like, do you know what? I will just wait. And I did watch the final episode of the Claudia Carvin one. And I was like, oh, this might be something I like. I love this. And it all comes down to Siobhan McSweeney.
Yeah.
Casting. And they have made this Irish and included Irish tasks without making it twee. I think it's really, really good. Like including the Irish language. And it's really good.
Yeah, I love the carnage of it all. Like, I wouldn't last 2 minutes.
No.
If I was made a traitor, I have this thing where I smirk badly all the time. And the minute I get tapped, I'd be like, oh, I'm gone. Blushing, smirk. But I just love the fact that the traitors are doing, like, the other shows, they kind of had kind of subtle plans. These guys are like, okay, they're powerful people, they're leaders, out you go. But then anybody who's quiet, the faithful are going, well, you're out. So it's just this absolute, what is happening here? Like, just there's no pattern at all, but classic traitors, the egos are rising. It's all getting a bit like the power has gone to their head. And I love it. I think it's great. And Siobhan is absolutely brilliant. Her sass, her put downs,
her outfits. Perfect.
Yes.
John?
I don't want to be like, you know, Scrooge in the corner.
Oh, no.
No. Listen. No. Just give me a second.
Why do you hate the Irish language, John? Why do you hate yourself?
Siobhan McSweeney is great.
Yeah.
I love all the people in it. They don't seem intent on, I'm going to have a media career after this. They seem like genuine, nice people. As the guys say, the Irishisms in it are perfect. The fact that they're Irish tasks. Siobhan McSweeney is great. There's Wolfhound, Slane Castle. My only thing is just that I watched and thought, this is good, this is entertaining. I'm delighted people are watching live TV again.
Yeah.
We need more of that. But it's not Breaking Bad. Like, I don't think this is a TV revolution. It's just, we've been told this is just the most incredible thing ever made. I don't necessarily think that, to be honest. It's very entertaining television.
And sometimes that's enough, though.
Absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely. But it's just, I don't know. It's kind of the rebirth of reality TV or something. I'm not so sure about that.
No.
Okay,
no, it's just really good crack.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go any further than
is
that.
Is it that we're all surprised that it's an good Irish spin-off is as good as the original?
Yeah, I know, because there's been some kind of naff attempts here at kind of buying up franchises.
So when are you watching?
What
are you going to watch?
I'm going to have to watch it tonight after she goes to bed. And to stay up all night watching it because she's already seen it. I'd be looking at the clock
going,
did you yawn there? Are you tired? Do you want to go up to bed so I can actually go on?
She broke the circle of TV trust. If she wants to get back into it, she has to sit and watch it.
Watch it again. I think you're right,
actually,
John.
I'll give her a tip. What I do when I do stuff like that, I say to my husband, you go watch it. And then I just scroll on my phone. I use that as scroll time. So she can maybe do what she's been wanting to do and let you watch.
And lean across and go, oh, when you see this bit.
I know, yeah. Oh, she will.
He's
she
a
will.
Trailer.
Anyway, so that's on. Anyway, it's 4 weeks. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday for 4 weeks. Is that it? Okay, so 12 episodes and we're 3 in. And if, like me, you haven't watched it, you can catch up before episode 4 again this Sunday. So what else then? Oh, sorry, Jaws. We got to talk about Jaws.
Was that not? It's a while ago, isn't it?
Now, you have seen Jaws, haven't you?
It's the best movie of all time.
It's his favourite film.
It's my favourite film.
Jaws is Jaws 50.
And do you know why it's my favourite film? Because it's the best film ever made.
Yes, first ever summer blockbuster.
Really?
Yeah, it's the best film ever made.
It is sensational. Surreal. Like, we saw it in IMAX today. Obviously, he's 50 years old. The three lads, just the banter, the US Indianapolis story, it's just terrifying, and yet it's a big animatronic crap looking shark, but still jumping out. My history with it is, my mother, when I was 5, for my fifth birthday,
your mother was killed by a shark.
No, she brought me she brought me to the Metropole with my 6 mates to see you, age 5. And I haven't swam or gone to open water since. Like, so last Friday I got to bring my ma to IMAX to see Jaws because she'd forgotten she'd brought me all those years ago. And she was rocking back and forth, losing her mind, screaming, jumping. And after, she goes, how did I let you go to that movie when you were... I'm like, you brought 6 of us. But it is still, and it's so clean now, brilliant. Up on screen. And it has, like, it's the type of movie, you know, as you know, if you're jumping through channels and it's on.
You're just not turning it off. No way.
Find a child or find a mother and bring them to see this movie, because if you can't see it on the big screen, it is still as good as
any child, any mother. Snatch them up off the street,
and
bring them to the local cinema.
If you haven't seen it on Disney Plus, National Geographic did a Jaws at 50 documentary, and it is unbelievable the stuff they reveal. It'll blow your mind. Like half the cast lived on the island. They're not even actors. Like, it's just unbelievable stuff. So watch that as well.
Oh God, it's so good. Yeah, amazing. Isn't it, John?
No arguments. It's also Ian O'Doherty's favourite movie, you'd be pleased to hear, who also saw it when he was about six as well and realised he shouldn't have. It has everything.
Like, I agree with everything in it.
It's probably some dark Freudian metaphor for it. Like, there's all sorts of reads on it and all sorts of things. And the way they want to close the beach and then the politicians don't want them to close the beach. It contains multitudes.
It does. So it must have been the 40th anniversary then they had a screening of it down the Mansion House, and Richard Dreyfuss was brought over for it.
Yeah, and they did it all. But they had lunch
there, remember all that. And then he did a, you must have been there, David, and he did a kind of a Q&A thing afterwards, and all he talked about was how awful Jaws was for the shark population. I was like, know your audience, Richard.
He completely regrets making it now.
Yeah, he does. Man. You know, I could imagine the organisers going, did anyone check with Richard what his views were on the movie before
we
asked him?
Well, I was reading about the kid, Shark Attack number 2, the kid on the float.
Oh, yeah. Place.
He's Alex Kittner is the kid's name, but remember his ma goes, go on out for one more swim. Yeah. And he, in 2017, discovered that conventions were paying for kind of that kind of thing,
yeah,
to go and sign a thing, whatever. So he says, I'll try it out. He quit within 3 months and he's getting paid, flown all over the world, and he makes his most money on Mother's Day from Cameo when people get him to say Happy Mother's Day because of the whole, and it's just so that's the last 7 years he's been living the dream, travelling the world.
It still gives all these years later. Mm-hmm. It's still giving. Serena, mm-hmm, you're not having it.
No way. Maybe I saw it too late in my life. Like, I was in my 30s and went, that shark does not like it, it does not look like it can do anything to you.
Yeah. Oh, look, this thing, the Aussie. All of us Irish are terrified of it. Yeah, you call that a shark? Just know, punch it in the nose.
That's not a knife. I'm going to be Scrooge again, but just on what you were saying, like, there's a direct, you know, they say in the movie Sideways, Merlot sales dropped as a result. There's distinct evidence that sharks, the population really suffered as a result.
All right, Richard.
No,
all
I'm
right,
sorry.
Right.
Is that what he said, though?
Yeah, that's what he said.
But Steven Spielberg
has
opted for that as well. It's had a real effect. I'm sorry. I just, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we're paid to do. You
well,
know?
Be prepared, sharks, because everyone should go out and watch it again for the 50th anniversary, right?
Okay.
The trawler,
I would argue that Jaws 3, the Revenge, or 4, was the one that made sharks, you know. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, all right, John, what is Courageous?
The Courageous. This is, it's only getting a limited release. It's about this mother living in Switzerland who's a bit of a wild card. We meet her, she's minding her 3 children. It looks like she might have been in some kind of trouble with the law. She has to move house. She takes her kids to this house every day that she's telling them is going to be theirs, even though it isn't. She sneaks them in when the estate agent is leaving. It's kind of like a Ken Loach movie set in the Swiss hills. Now, I know that might not send people screaming out to the cinema, but this is one of the most affecting movies I've seen all year. It's very sad, but it's about a mother not fitting in, trying to mind her 3 children. It's in Swiss or French, actually, so it's not everyone's cup of tea, because some people go, I'm not going to watch something with subtitles. This is a glorious chamber piece of a movie that I really, really enjoyed. Bit sad, but beautiful.
Where can people watch that?
In a couple of places like the IFI, and I think it's probably in the Palais. I need to double check that, but it's in a few small places, but do check it out.
All right, The Courageous is the name of it. Serena, what is K-popped?
Oh my gosh, it's something that I didn't think I'd enjoy so much, but absolutely loved it. Apple TV, it's basically they get some of the pop world's biggest superstars, get them to meet some of the K-pop's biggest bands, and they bring them together. So we've got the likes of Eve, Megan Thee Stallion, Kylie Minogue, Boy George, Vanilla Ice even. And these K-pop groups, they split in half. Half go with one contestant, the other half go with the other. And they take one of their most famous songs, like with the Spice Girls, they took Wannabe. With Kylie, they took Can't Get You Out of My Head. They then K-popify it. They come back and they perform, and the audience decides which song is better as a K-pop song. And then at the end, they perform their own K-pop song. It sounds ridiculous. God, it was so much fun. And the performances, you walk away in awe of these K-pop bands because they're not only just incredible singers, their choreography, their dedication. It was just like, I want all those songs that they've K-popped to be released because they're all great. They're fun.
And it's on Apple TV.
Apple TV.
You can watch the whole way through.
Yes, you can. And yes, I did. There's 8 episodes.
And you've watched them all?
Well, I've got 2 to go. The Boy George one I haven't watched yet.
All right. Okay, it's called K-popped and it's all up there. All 8 episodes.
Half an hour.
30 minutes long. Ideal. David, The Task. Or is it Task?
Task.
What is Task?
So Task is, you know, we're going into the bleak world of Philadelphia. So basically, if you remember Mayor of Easttown,
brilliant.
With Kate Winslet, this is the same dude, Brad Inglesby. This is his new show, and it's got Mark Ruffalo, who plays an FBI agent who's grieving, but gets thrown headfirst into a task force, and are charged with ending a series of home invasions by a guy who's kind of a family man during the day, but then by night he's this mad yoke. Actor is Tom Pelfrey, who people might know from Banshee and Ozark. This is his moment. This is Hollywood's going to wake up to this guy and he's going to get all the thing. Brad Inglesby is unbelievable. Like, as you said, Mayor of Easttown, if you like that, if you like True Detective, like we're talking bleak, grim, yet beautiful type stuff.
Yeah.
He loves his music on the Mayor of Easttown. He had the Philadelphia punk band Mannequin Pussy playing the music. In this one, Hipsters Ahoy, Dan Deacon is doing the score. So anybody who knows, they're called Electronica Pop. This is like the first episode drops on Monday and it's the first must-see show of the autumn. It's that HBO prestige.
Okay.
Holy moly, I'm deeply invested. It goes at its own pace. There's no rushing around here. It's just like slowly getting into your under your skin. And it starts on Monday on Sky, Atlantic and Now TV and cannot recommend it.
And it'll be weekly after that.
Weekly, classic. You know, Sunday's your thing and then this on Monday.
All right. It's called Task. So it's starting Monday, September the 8th. Is that right? September the 8th. Sky Atlantic, Now TV as well. The Paper.
So
yeah. Is it good, Serena? Yeah. This is the Office spinoff.
Yeah, with Jonah Gleason in the lead. So basically, I can't say too much. What I can say is there is a connection to Dunder Mifflin.
Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah, that's it. In that. It's the same documentary crew who follow them around, but this time they're following this Midwestern paper crew.
Oh, so that's the link.
And there's a couple of others that I can't talk about, right? So watch and you'll see the other links. But that is the major link. And Donald Gleason has been called in to sort of revive this Midwestern newspaper. His character is not the Michael Scott character, but the characters around him are as awkward and sometimes as corny as Michael Scott. He is so good in this. He's awkward, he's funny, he's smart. The biggest standout for me, though, is Sabrina Impacciatore, who plays Esmeralda, who was the person looking after the paper before he came.
Okay.
And she does everything to sabotage. She is the standout for me. But the standout really for this is there's 10 episodes. They start on Friday, 9 o'clock on Sky Max, or you can watch all of them now on Now. But before it even starts, it's already been commissioned for a second season.
It's that good.
It is.
It starts
actually really
this
good.
Friday.
This
tomorrow.
Friday. And it's worth the watch. And I love that Jonah Gleason is so good in this. And there's no comparisons to Michael Scott. What's his name in
Steve
real life?
Carell.
Steve Carell. There's no comparisons to him because the character is so different.
Okay.
So he can do his own thing with this. This is going to be good.
Is it for fans of the original? Or like, is it one of those things where it's lots of there's so many nods?
Look, if you're a fan, you'll see the nods, but you don't have to be a fan to see the nods. They've done enough to keep the original fans happy, but they've also done enough to go, this is a standalone thing. And I really, really enjoy it. And the characters are fun. And as I said, Sabrina's character of Esmeralda is just hilarious.
Yeah. Well, Sarah Madden, actually, our reporter here, caught up with Donald Gleason. And that interview is up as a podcast. John, before we go on the show this weekend.
There's a mad new documentary starting in the IFI next week for their film or their documentary festival called Once We Were Punks, about these four guys who were in a band in Cavan in the 80s and they didn't go anywhere. And they come back as a kind of well-known band now called Sons of Southern Ulster. A brilliant documentary. And obviously I have all the week's new releases and all those kind of things as well.
All right. Look forward to it. John Farley, presenter of Screen Time, Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist David O'Callaghan from the Here and Back Again podcast. Thanks, folks.
Thanks.
Listen, before we go, because we're almost out of time, I just want to mention something. We are losing one of our colleagues here today in News Talk and on The Hard Shoulder. Mark Simpson is his name, and it's a name that might not mean a whole lot to lots of you listening at home, because Mark has been somebody who works behind the microphone, as it were, behind the scenes. But Mark has been so important to this station and to this show and to so many other shows down through the years that while you might not know the name, he is responsible for some of the great, great radio moments you think of when you think of News Talk. He has been here with this station for 20 years. He has seen the station quite literally move from local radio to national radio, move buildings within the capital city, and he has seen people move the dial in greater and greater numbers. And while I guess it is the likes of, you know, Pat Kenny and others who get the attention in the headlines when that happens, none of it could happen without the likes of Mark behind the scenes. So he will be dearly, dearly missed on that front in terms of what he brings to the station as a professional. But we're all going to miss him as well on a personal level, because anybody who's been around that long forges really close friendships with the people they work with, and Mark no different. So we wish him the absolute best of luck in his career, Mark. And listen, we hope you stay listening to News Talk and keep in touch. For what it's worth, Off the Ball, they're up next. Some things never change. I'll be back tomorrow at 4.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.